Today we're going to talk about the eternal gospel. Now, you might have forgotten about that, but in our first reading from Revelation, it kind of gives that in detail. The eternal gospel was delivered from an angel to the earth. So, what is this eternal gospel? What is the gospel in its sense? Well, I want you to think of something else first. And it's a phrase. It's not fair. If you've raised children or been around children, or if you've been a child yourself, which we all have, you've probably heard this before, right? It's not fair. Kind of like that. It's not fair. We have moments in life that things are just not fair. Now, it's not only children either. Adults make this claim too. Sometimes with these words, and sometimes we dress up the idea a little bit. Maybe we say it's not ethical, or I don't think that would be appropriate, or that action infringes upon my rights. Most of the time, all we're saying is the same thing. It's not fair. It's not just people either. Now, get this. Many of the creatures in the world, many of God's creatures, seem to have the same idea of fairness. It's kind of hardwired into our brains. There was once an experiment that was trying to determine whether or not monkeys have this sense of fairness as much as people do, as we do. Now, there were two monkeys. Kind of a cute little monkey like this. And there were two monkeys that were in their cages side by side. They had been taught that if they took a pebble from their cage and they placed it in a bowl that was held by the experimenter, if they put that pebble in there, they would get a reward. So monkey number one puts in a pebble and got a carrot. Now monkey two saw this, and he put a pebble in, and then monkey two got a carrot. This is working out pretty good. Monkey one put in another pebble, and voila, another carrot. Both of these cute little monkeys were very content. They were happy. But later on, monkey two put in a second pebble, and monkey two got a delicious, sweet red grape. Definitely not a carrot this time. Now, monkey one saw this, and his eyes got huge. And he ran toward his pebbles as fast as he could, grabbed one in haste, and put it quickly into a bowl. Then experimenter gave monkey number one a carrot, just like it had happily received in the past. But this time, monkey one grabbed the carrot, he looked at it, then he looked over to monkey number two with his juicy little grape. He looked at the experimenter one more, and then he threw that carrot right back at the experimenter. Didn't he want it? Monkey two put another pebble in the bowl and received another grape. So again, monkey one ran, gave it another shot, got another pebble, put it in the bowl. Monkey one received another carrot. Now, this time, as it was handed the carrot, it knocked it out of the human's hand, jumped against the bars of the cage, hung on tight, and then gave out a scream. Ah! Something like that. I think if it could talk like a human, I'm sure it was saying, "It's not fair. It's not fair." Today, in our Bible readings, the same thing is going on. We hear of this, quote, eternal gospel. So you might have missed it. This is what Revelation says from Karen, who read it earlier. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim. The eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Okay, so what's the eternal gospel? Well, let's keep reading. Our next Bible reading from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Romans, gives us reason to shout out this same thing. It's not fair. In this reading, we hear the same thing. For all of us have sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. But all are justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is the eternal gospel. It lasts forever. Now, there are two parts to this equation. So listen closely. The first part is this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hearing this sentence kind of makes me feel a little empty. That doesn't sound very good. You have fallen short. You don't measure up. You have been weighed, measured, and you've been found wanting. You're not good enough. Try all you want, but you'll never be able to meet God's standard. So what are we to do? Try harder, right? Pray better. Pay off the Pope. Something. We got to do it. We as human beings are conditioned, just like these monkeys, to think the same way. We work and we receive pay. We do our homework and we get the grades. But it's not the same with God. Even the best things that you and I can or want to do, they'll never be good enough. They'll never reach God. We can try and try and try. We can reach out grasping just like that little monkey, and we can reach, thinking we can reach heaven, but nothing. We don't even get a carrot. Our hands are empty. We don't have anything to give God. So also felt this guy, Martin Luther. Now, not the Martin Luther King we know from the 1960s. This is Martin Luther from the 1500s. He was a young pastor. And he struggled with the same thing of feeling good enough for God. He couldn't understand how God could or ever would accept him for the things that he did wrong. He fasted. He went days without eating. He prayed constantly. He confessed his sins. He even had self-inflicted beatings. He whipped himself. But none of that seemed good enough to please God or even ease his own conscience. And Luther spent years trying. And it was during these very trying times of struggle that he began this study, this Bible study on Romans, the same book that we hear from today. And in this study, he actually, for himself, rediscovered the eternal gospel, the truth of the gospel that the just, the righteous people, they live by faith. Faith. Luther came to understand that he could never earn forgiveness, never earn God's love, never earn his grace, never do enough to make himself right with God. Neither can you, neither can any of us. And that's what we learn from these Bible readings that we celebrate and commemorate today. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's kind of a sad reality that we even have to celebrate or commemorate this day almost 500 years ago, that the church needed reforming, that the church itself didn't even have all the right answers. All have sinned and fallen short. Now, if you can kind of grasp that first idea, if you're maybe okay with that, if you don't have a problem with that first claim, let me remind you of a second claim. And I can assure you, it is not fair at all. You are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. whom God put forward as a substitute by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine patience he had passed over former sins. Everyone falls short of God's standard, but God still considers you and I worthy of being in his presence. It's all because of this. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This equation does not add up. We can't understand it. It's not fair. We contribute nothing, and God gives us everything through Jesus. For free. For free. That is the motto of the Reformation that we celebrate. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and in, just as we sang, in Christ alone. We know this because of Scripture alone. This Reformation of the Church, in which we rediscovered this eternal gospel, is what we celebrate on October 31st every year, when that guy, Martin Luther, posted a few complaints, 95 of them, on a church door on October 31st in the year 1517. And he caused a havoc. We celebrate, rather commemorate, Reformation Day, recalling the event that gave the Bible back to God's people, to you and to me, when Jesus became central once more. Today we, I think, are living in a time where we still need Jesus, right? We still need Jesus to be up front and center in our lives. You can see what happens when he's not. Because we're living now in a time where we still wonder what God will make of our lives. We wonder how to make sense of it all. Life is tough, and life knocks us down sometimes. Sometimes just because we are Christian. And when we hold our hands out for help, sometimes we get slapped in the face. Sometimes instead of a carrot, we may put out a bowl and get nothing. But Jesus knows what unfair is. Jesus knows what it is to be the only one in the world to be innocent. He had a world full of sinful people doubting him, questioning him, undermining him. And he had Satan slithering around his every move to get him to put something, anything, before his heavenly Father. The same tricks that work for you and me. The judge, the jury, even every witness in the court was stacked against Jesus. How fair is that? And yet he still remained innocent for you. Then Jesus was crucified on the cross, a punishment that you know that is meant for the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth. And he was the only man in history who did not deserve it. Fairness, justice, rights. You're not going to find any of these on the cross. Not for Jesus. And that's the remarkable thing. Jesus didn't receive justice, but he paid for it. He paid your price. He mopped up all of our mess, and he flushed away all of our filth. That's the gospel. That's the good news that you have. And it lasts for eternity. At the cross, we see this same intersection where fairness meets love. And thank God that Jesus is not interested in fairness. Right? Because when fairness meets love, where God will open his arms to you and to me. Where fairness meets love, you'll find forgiveness. And sin loses its grip. Sin stops unraveling God's word, his good work. And that is why Easter morning, that stone rolled away from the tomb, that love intersected fairness. Nothing could hold that stone back, not even death. Death had been undone, and Jesus was and is now alive. Today, as you, as all of us, as people bought by Jesus, we live in this same intersection of fairness and love. If you look around at the rest of the world, most people choose willingly to be ruled by either fairness alone or by love alone. Negotiating these two kind of creates a lot of problems. Creates international wars, political rifts, relationships break. Families sometimes get ruined. In the Middle East, we have entire nations who focus on fairness alone. They think that the other nations are the ones at fault. You started it. Then there are others who demand only love in our world, right? After all, it sounds pretty good when John Lennon from the Beatles sings, "It's all you need is love." But if we take that a little bit too far, I think you know what happens. We have people doing things behind closed doors that would make other people blush. But it's all done in love. Politically, we fight over what is fair. Who should pay, who should receive, and whether they really deserve it. But what if compassion, what if genuine love intersected the conversations we have on what was fair? How many relationships, how many families do you know that were ripped apart because fairness didn't intersect with love? You see, if fairness and love don't intersect, they don't meet in the middle, you don't have forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't that there isn't a price to be paid. Don't get me wrong on that. Sin still has pretty big consequences. Forgiveness doesn't mean that there isn't damage done. Sin still hurts. Forgiveness means that you don't keep a record of the past for future reference. Forgiveness means that even though it's not fair, you let it go. And you love. Where fairness intersects love, where forgiveness is found, sin's effects unravel. Sin loses its grip, and life comes. And we get a glimpse of the power of Jesus' resurrection for you. Fairness has a place. It maintains order. But I encourage you today, the rest of your life, I encourage you to slow down. Slow down and think about it. Maybe it might be this afternoon, or maybe it might be tomorrow. What would it mean for you to show your spouse, your kids, your siblings, your parents, some fairness intersected with love? Bring that power to your disagreements. Bring it to your opinions. Bring it to your politics. Bring it to the people that you love. Bring it to the people that you don't love. And just watch what Jesus does to sin. You won't even think it's fair. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.